You're listening to The Wildcast with Calvin Coyles.
Welcome to The Wildcast. I'm your host, Calvin Coyles, international speaker, best-selling author, and your personal growth mentor. Each week, I answer your questions in wellness, income, love, lifestyle, and direction, as well as a few epic interviews with thought leaders from around the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Wildcast for the Master Coach series of podcasts. My name is Jason. I'm your head trainer and your host here at the Wildcast. And today I'm joined by Lorraine. And Lorraine is a spiritual coach. She helps heal people who maybe are empaths or maybe are sort of more looking for that more spiritual journey. But she's also a Reiki grandmaster, so can teach Reiki as well. And she's joining us today to have a bit of a conversation about coaching and about her particular journey. So Lorraine, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jason. Thank you for having me.
No worries at all. So I guess my first question is, how does one figure out that they want to become a spiritual coach? Or is that something that is more intuitive?
I suppose you could say it's intuitive, but for me, it was quite a strange journey. I didn't always know what I wanted to do. When I was in school, I never knew what I wanted to do. I just knew I wanted to help people. I actually thought that I wanted to be a nurse for a long time, and then I didn't follow that path. I ended up going out of school and becoming a massage therapist. And then I went to travel at the age of 20. And when I moved away from home, that was when I kind of started the spiritual journey, because I stepped out of Ireland. Ireland isn't really, well, now it's becoming more of a spiritual place, but back in the day, it really wasn't. So I left home at the age of 20 and I started traveling. I was working on cruise ships. And at the age of 24, I ended up moving home. I was in a total disaster stage of my life because I was in an abusive relationship. And at that stage, it was like psychologically, mentally abusive, you know, like with the gaslighting and these kind of things. So I went to see a counselor at the time and she told me to meditate. So when I started meditating, I started feeling things. And then I just realized like, okay, there's something going on here. So at the time, nobody else around me was into that kind of stuff. And that's when I just started really looking into it, because I felt something, but nobody else knew what I was talking about. They all thought I was gone a bit crazy. But it was an intuitive thing in that way, because it was something that I felt and I followed. And I started getting really into reading a lot of personal development books. So I started reading. My first book that I read was Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Yeah. And when I read that book, I started manifesting things and I was like, well, there's something going on here, you know, like there's something really here that I really need to like delve into. So I started like really getting into the whole path then of personal growth. And then while also on the same side doing like the spiritual side of things, because I was getting into crystals and things. And that's how it all began. And at that time, that was in 2014. And at that time, I said to myself that I want to be a coach or a speaker. Like I was watching people doing TED Talks, you know, like Simon Sinek, Brené Brown, those kind of people. And I just was like, okay, I want to do this. But I didn't know how I was going to get there. I actually didn't think I ever would get there. But now here in 2022, here I am. I've figured it out. I went through like a whole journey basically for the last 8 years of understanding myself, understanding what it is that I really want and like where it is I'm going. And then in 2020, I went through a big life change again. And I had been living in Dubai from 2015 until 2020. And COVID brought me home. And then I decided, okay, it's time. I'm going to have to just focus on where it is that I want to go. And I started studying coaching. And I've completely changed as a person, and now I know what it is I want to do, and I know that now I'm ready to help other people. I didn't think I was able to before, you know.
I guess, how have you married that more spiritual side with the more quote unquote practical side of coaching? How have those two kind of blended for you?
Well, for me, I'm a person that I've a really logical mind. So I like to understand the logical way of things working and not just the intuitive way. Like I was really trying to understand all the time, like, well, what is the logical side of this? You know, there's like, I can feel things. What does this mean? So I went and studied the coaching with neuroscience back in 2020 when I first started studying coaching. And then I understood like the law of attraction and the mind and how everything works. But then going into studying Reiki also helped me to connect more to the intuitive side of my own intuitive abilities, which took me a while to really connect to because I didn't really believe in it at the beginning. And I just didn't really feel like I didn't have the belief in myself more so. So once I started like getting my attunements to the Reiki, then I started opening up all of these different parts of myself that I didn't even know were there. And I started connecting more to it. And so that's kind of how I did both sides at the same time. And now I'm connecting both of them together. Yeah. So I like to see both sides.
Yeah. So then how does that then relate to how you coach clients? Like, what's the balance that you find in terms of the, obviously you've got a few different tools in the tool belt now. How do you balance that? And is it a nature of just the kind of clients that you tend to attract, or is it just, you know, a person-to-person basis? Like, what's the kind of the split as you focus more on obviously the spiritual side and then the more practical side?
I suppose I tend to attract people who seem to be looking for what it is that I'm doing so far anyway. But
it's convenient. It happens when you get clear on what you want to do.
Yeah, because now I'm clear on what I want to do. And the more clear I'm getting, it seems to be that I'm just attracting the right kind of people, that they're looking for exactly what I'm doing. But it's more so as well when I'm talking to people, because of the fact that I've been working on my own intuition and increasing that, and then also understanding listening skills and body language from the emotional intelligence side, like just connecting the both together, and my own empathy and compassion, I've really been able to see, I somehow channel the information that I know what to say to the person in the right way. Like if the person is coming to me with a certain question or there's something going on with them, I would get them to explain to me what it is that's happening with them. And then I just know with my own intuitive abilities how to help them. I know what to say to spark the little bit of interest in them or spark the idea to get them to see things in a new perspective.
How long would
is that answering your question?
Kind of. How long would you say it's taken you to get to the point where you can sort of just trust your intuition and let that lead the conversation?
It's definitely taken me the last 8 years, just from meeting a lot of different people and connecting to people, and then just, you know, working on learning listening skills and body language, and then also connecting through doing Reiki and meditation into my own intuition to understand the other person. Like it's definitely taken me the last 8 years.
Yeah. What would you say is some of the common things that people do come to you for? Because when you hear the term, I guess, spiritual coach, like, you know, there's many different avenues that someone could take in their imagination as to what that means. So what do people tend to come to you for? Because obviously you hear the word spiritual coach.
Yeah.
What does that really mean to you? And what do people tend to come to you for?
So people generally come to me for like spiritual advice, like if they're going through their own spiritual awakenings. Spiritual awakenings are, I don't know if you know much about spiritual awakenings, but they're quite a scary time of your life. Like normally you will go through this huge shift and everything outside of you just starts to change. Your perspective on everything will start to change. And a lot of the time it can be invoked by you yourself, you know, through doing spiritual practices, but sometimes it can just happen and you're not expecting it to happen and your whole life feels like it's falling apart. Like in tarot they call it the tower moment, and they say basically the tower falls because it wasn't built on a firm foundation. So your whole life will start to shift based on bringing you into alignment with where you're supposed to be. So generally, that's the kind of thing that I'm helping people with when they come to me, that they're feeling a bit stuck and a bit lost and they don't know where to go. They want to figure out what their purpose is and where they want to go in their life, but they're not really sure where to go from where they are. And they also need some help and maybe some compassion and somebody to understand them, because a lot of the time, especially for me, when I was going through this, nobody around me understood what was happening and they didn't understand like why this was happening to me or why I was changing. But sometimes it's just, you just need to have somebody who understands where you're coming from and who understands your perspective. So that's generally what would help people with. And then also like with empaths as well, for me, for my whole life, I thought there was something wrong with me. You know, people are always telling me you're too nice, you're too this, you're too sensitive. And I just thought there was something wrong with me. Like, what am I doing wrong here? But through doing all the spirituality and connecting more to my own intuition, I understood that there's nothing actually wrong with me. It's just that I have a different way of seeing things than other people. So sometimes I think when you're going through these shifts yourself as a highly sensitive person or an empath, it's just nice to have somebody who understands so that they can make you feel like you're not crazy. You're not crazy. And, you know, you are going somewhere, you're on the right path.
So the empaths that you tend to find, are they the people that will tend to take on board other people's opinions and other people's energy a little bit too much? Yeah. Is that, and then
yeah,
with that, because that's, I feel like that's a very, something that's very relevant for a lot of coaches, is they worry about taking on board other people's energy too much. So yeah. What are your recommendations for those kind of clients? And then also, what do you do yourself to keep from taking on board the energy of others, of your clients, too much? Because I feel like that's a really relevant topic for a lot of coaches these days.
Yeah, it's a huge thing. And this is something I've struggled a lot with throughout my life. That's why I always thought there was something wrong with me, because I was always taking everybody else's stuff. And my brother always used to say to me, like, everything you're worried about is not even your problem. So It took me a while to understand this. But I discovered a few years ago that if you sit with yourself, just say you're being taken away in an emotion and you don't really understand where it's coming from, or it just comes out of nowhere and like, it's not yours. A good exercise I found to do would be to sit with yourself and just ask, who does this belong to? And just sit and see if it stays there, it's yours. But if it doesn't stay there, if it's not yours, it will go away. You know,
check the collar, right? You know, call the number. Yeah. The owner's down the street. They can come pick up this emotion in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Thank you. I don't need this anymore. Another good thing I found really helpful is Palo Santo, like this, you know, the our sage, like to burn. They're really good for just cleansing away any of the negative energies. Another really handy thing to use would be like crystals like clear quartz. But if you're not into those spiritual things as well, you can also just practice grounding yourself. Mm-hmm. I find a really good practice is just to, like, you know, wrap yourself up in a bubble and, like, you know, zip up the bubble and say, you know, just a really important thing to understand with spirituality is that it's really, everything is about intention. Mm-hmm. It's just like setting intention. So if we intend to protect our own energy and intend and just believe that we can protect our own energy and that we're going to wrap ourselves in that bubble, then it really helps, just as long as you believe it yourself, because it's your energy, right? And you're the one taking the other people's energy. You do have control over it if you understand it.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I don't think it's honestly that far-fetched for people even who aren't in the sort of the spirituality world to give an intention to your actions and have it sort of come to pass. We see it in yoga all the time, right? Breathing through the emotions and breathing in and out through the movement and all of that kind of stuff. I do this constantly. Like, you know, when you're feeling heightened emotions, you just stop and take a couple of deep breaths. And then all of a sudden you're back in. It wasn't spirituality, woo-woo, you know, oh my God, you know, I cleansed my chakra. Like none of that was necessarily happening for the person, but the intention was just to pause and to ground yourself in the present moment and remind yourself, okay, no, I'm all good. I'm allowed to take myself a moment to gather myself. I don't have to be so doing all the time. I'm allowed to take a time and just a moment and just be. And as you said, that being and that stopping and that presence of, hang on, what am I feeling? Who does this belong to? You know, is this really mine? Okay. Then move forward from a place of almost more groundedness, as you said, and more calm. Definitely not woo-woo at all. It's such a such a powerful tool, as you said, to just really harness the intention and the focus of what you want. And as you said, you can have all sorts of cool little imagery that you can use to help get you wherever you want to get to, whether it's more grounded, whether it's more protected. I think it's a very valuable tool for people, especially coaches, to learn.
Yeah, definitely. And like another important thing I would like to say for anybody who is an empath or a sensitive person, that, you know, to understand that it's actually a beautiful gift to be able to feel other people's emotions and understand them. And it's something that you can really use for your own benefit. It was something that really took over me for a long time that I wasn't able to control it. I didn't understand it. But when you can learn to connect to it, and the more you connect to yourself, the more you'll be able to use it to help other people. And that's what you have the gift for, right? It's for to be able to help people and to be able to see their emotions and understand them in a way that maybe other people can't understand. Yeah. So I guess
that's the difference, right? Is being able to recognize them as someone else's. That's the real, that's the real sort of key for an empath to understand, because once you do recognize that they're other people's emotions, then they stop having the impact on you. It doesn't become yours. You don't embody those emotions. You can keep them separate to yourself, but still recognize them.
Exactly. And I think that the more that you learn to heal yourself and work on your own internal emotions and, you know, inner child and all of this kind of stuff, like creating boundaries as well, the more that you'll become strong with it and you'll be able to use it for your own benefit. So it's really good.
Beautiful. Love it. Completely agree. It's such a such an interesting sort of space to be in. You can, and it just goes to show that you can do, as coaches, we can do very similar things in very different ways and attract different markets, right? Like when you gave a bit of an example of some of the clients that would come to you for coaching when they're having essentially like a spiritual awakening or a bit of a crisis moment almost, that could be seen in many different ways by many different coaches. You know, what would cause one person to choose a spiritual coach to help guide them through the spiritual awakening might have another person choosing a business or a purpose and direction coach to help them get on track with what they want to do and have some, maybe a career coach, something like that, right? And or they would focus on the one area of life that's not working. Maybe it's their relationship coach, whatever it is. There's everyone will have very similar problems, but they'll all perceive very different solutions based on where they're at. So that's why it's important, I think, as coaches to get clear on what you do and who you help and how you can help them sort of differently to other coaches. Like everyone has their own special little niche, little gift, little abilities, and embracing that is so important as a coach.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really important because just like it, I think it's important as well because we each have our own life experiences. So like, for example, you're a coach for weight loss. That's where you kind of started up, right? So because that's the experience that you have. And so I feel like the more experience that we have as a person in our own life, then we'll be able to impart that on others rather than, for me, I wouldn't really consider myself to be a career coach because I don't really find myself drawn into that, and I don't really think I spent enough time in like corporate or anything to be able to really guide the person in the way that they would want. But I really put all of my stuff into this side of life, you know, into the spiritual journey, and so I think that's why I chose to go towards this direction.
Yeah, and I think that's interesting because just because you're not you don't have the experience, for example, in corporate or in career. And it's like you, what you do still helps people get clear on what they really want and the decisions that they want to make, right? A lot of people, I think when they start getting deep into their like subject matter expertise as a coach, they start worrying about shutting out other areas, right? So I'm not an expert in that subject matter. Well, you don't have to be. You're an expert in helping someone through the process of aligning to their intuition or their decision or their truth. And that's what's going to allow them to make the decision on what career or what relationship or what, you know, job is right for them. So it's not about you needing to have the information. But yeah, it's interesting. Some people would say, oh, I'm good at helping people make those decisions, so I'll just make myself a career coach. It's like, no, you can take that in so many different directions.
Yeah, very true. It is very broad, definitely.
Yeah, exactly.
In any direction. So, as long as you have the knowledge and like the tools, I think you'll be able to help anybody.
Yeah. I guess speaking of tools, what are some of the key either questions or tools that you find tend to come up for you in sessions with clients again and again? Some of the more common, whether it's just like a couple of powerful questions that really get them thinking, or whether it's like a tool, whether it's Reiki or NLP or whatever it is, what do you find comes up most for you?
I suppose the thing that would come up most for me, but I think it's around belief change. A lot of people, like we are suffering a lot with beliefs because of the beliefs that have been put onto us throughout our lives. So I like to do a lot of belief changes. I find the emotional release technique to be very powerful as well, just because a lot of the time we're trapping emotions within our body. And that's something I work a lot with in Reiki as well, because emotions, like it's like energy in motion within your body. So then we work with like going through the chakras and cleansing out the emotions and then working on, you know, cleansing out everything so that a person will be able to go ahead and like release everything that's holding them back. So a lot of the time emotions are something that are really, really strong within us because they get trapped in our bodies, and then they cause us to end up having like physical ailments as well. So I think emotions and beliefs are two huge, huge things that I would really like to work with the most, that I find that people come to ask for help with the most.
They're often the things that are very suppressed as well, right? We suppress a lot of emotions, and we take on board others' emotions and others' beliefs. And those are the things that we need to let go of, is the stuff that gets placed on us from other people, or that we allow to be placed on us from other people.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's so much going on in the world nowadays, and especially in the last couple of years with COVID, a lot of people have been struggling a lot, you know, and then there's, you know, we're trying to go ahead and live our lives, but there's so much happening all around us and, you know, with the media and everything. So we're probably suppressing a lot of stuff that we're not even aware of. So even just to be able to be aware of those emotions and bring them out can make a huge difference in our lives. An exercise that I find very helpful for suppressing emotions is since I was young, I used to suppress my emotions a lot, and I used to get a lot of problems with my throat and my ears because I was just like I had a completely blocked throat chakra. And an exercise I found really helpful would be to just sit with yourself in a really quiet space when you feel like you're safe and, you know, that you can feel comfortable and safe to feel whatever you need to feel, and just sit and ask those emotions if they're ready to come up, to just come up to be expressed, and say that it's safe and that you want to feel them. Because sometimes, you know, because we're pushing them down, then our body thinks, okay, I'm not allowed to feel that. So if we just let it know that it's safe and you are allowed to feel that, and I do want to feel it, you're valid, I want to know what's there, then it will come up and it'll be a really good way to be able to release it. So that's a thing I find really helpful if anybody wants to try that out.
Yeah, give it a go. It's definitely, and the emotion won't come up unless it's ready. I think that's the thing that people need to remember. Your body won't release an emotion, whether it's an emotion, a memory, unless you're really sort of prepared and ready to deal with it more often than not, right? So when it comes to suppressing and pushing down emotions, like, I know a lot of people struggled in the lockdowns and in periods of time where they were forced to be at home. And I know people that really struggle with the idea of not going out, not constantly sort of doing things and going places. It's like, if you're just constantly doing that, you're building up this almost debt of unexpressed and unrealized emotion that just kind of carries itself with you. Right. And unless you give yourself the space to really feel that, and it's something that's so prevalent in this society, because you can distract yourself really, really easily. You just pick up one of those, you start scrolling, you start watching, and then you immediately sort of forget, or, you know, some people will turn to eating, whatever it might be. You suppress, because for some reason we've found feeling emotions, and especially in you know, media and a lot of society, especially for women, the last sort of 20, 30 years hasn't exactly been kind in the expressing of emotion in things like, for example, the workplace, or even at home sometimes, right? You get these kind of piss takes, so for lack of a better word, of you know, when women are experiencing more heightened emotion. You know, there's all those ones online about people, like, you know, calling a woman, oh, she's just being hysterical, or, you know, it's just that time of the month, and all of those things that write off the validity of experiencing and expressing emotions. And then there's the end of the spectrum with men, where, you know, if you're feeling or showing any kind of vulnerability or you know, sadness or whatever, then, you know, you just get told to, you know, suck it up, princess, or whatever. At least that's the kind of, you know, macho man Australian vibe that comes across sometimes. I think that's the
same in Ireland.
Yeah, I can imagine that, and it's such a detriment. And I know a lot of people are moving further and further away from those ways of thinking. But I think that with myself, you know, having a child coming up in a couple of months' time, really being conscious of the things that we're going to be teaching her, and what are we going to be teaching her around the validity of her feeling and expressing emotion, and what does that mean, it's a minefield to navigate, for sure. But it's something that society as a whole needs to kind of be okay with. It's like, people are going to feel shit and they're going to express shit. And even if you're in an environment, like you're in a coaching call with a client, you can't exactly just kind of burst out into tears. You know, if your role is there to sort of serve the client in their moment of need, it's like, cool, not getting rid of it. And I was talking about this on a podcast not long ago, but, you know, saying, noting it, okay, I notice I'm feeling this, that this is coming up, I'm going to work on this, I'm going to bring this up later. Don't worry, you'll be allowed your chance to shine, almost.
Yeah, exactly. And acknowledging the emotions, and acknowledging that it's okay, and it's a healthy thing to do, to acknowledge your emotions.
Yeah. The one of the top anxiety coaches, there used to be an anxiety coach, Andrew Pierce, used to be a business partner of ours and work with us. He's an awesome guy. Used to do a lot of work around called anxiety-free living, and one of the top coaches to help people with that. And the biggest thing he would teach people about anxiety was not to run from it or fight it, but just to accept it and allow it and say, okay, and acknowledge it, as he said, and say, all right, what are you here for? Why, you know, why have you come? It's like when your dog's, you know, hair goes up. It's like, what is it, boy? What are you looking at? You know, what is it? Like, rather than just telling it to calm down, then when you have an actual intruder, you know, then your dog is like, oh, well, my owner told me to calm down, so I'm not going to, right? And then it's the same sort of thing with anxiety is don't fight it, don't challenge it, don't try and smush it down. Allow it to be, allow it to flourish, allow it to come out and say, okay, cool. What am I experiencing? Why am I experiencing this? Why do I feel anxious in this moment? And just let it like ride it out, because it heightens when people try to fight it. And it's the same thing with a lot of other emotions. The more you suppress it, the bigger it's going to come up the next time before it becomes a problem.
Yeah. And also I feel like if you're suppressing it, it is going to just becomes scarier and scarier to deal with it then. Whereas a lot of the time I found in my own journey that if I actually just faced it, it might have been uncomfortable, but it wasn't as uncomfortable as I thought. It wouldn't have lasted as long as I expected. You know, it was like once I looked at it, it was like, oh, okay. Well, now I know what it was, you know, like why was I running away from it for so long? So it's interesting. Yeah. Like I think acknowledging is just so important. Another good way to, like you were saying about us distracting ourselves, something that I found very helpful for myself. This year I went a lot to silent retreats where you go and you're just meditating and you're not allowed to have your phone. You're not allowed to talk to anybody, but it's amazing because you really spend a lot of time just with yourself and you start to understand a lot of the different cues and things and ways that you distract yourself. So I think that's another really, really, nice thing for people to try as well, like just to give it a go, like put away your phone for a while, because I find that I wake up in the morning and I would be straight on my phone unless I pay attention to it. Maybe just do my spiritual practice in the morning. If I don't, then I'll be just jumping on my phone and looking, scrolling at something which I don't want to do, because I'm just going to be thinking about all this other stuff all day and it's 100 miles an hour. Taking a moment to just breathe and just check in with ourselves is so important.
Sometimes I like to use my phone because it's the blue light and it kickstarts the kind of the circadian rhythms and the melody and the production of I think it's the other one. It's you get the melatonin from the sunlight, but that's the blue light that kind of wakes you up and gets you started. So I'm like, kind of just like blue light. All right. Kickstart the process, right? Then put it away, right?
I mean, if you're good looking at stuff, maybe just have like something that you know in the morning is positive to look at, or like something that's going to send you on the right way to start your day instead of just scrolling through and seeing getting FOMO or something.
Yeah, exactly. So Lorraine, what would be one of your biggest tips that you would give to a coach who's just getting started in the industry? What is something that you would give to them to kind of help them along this journey?
It's really important to just get as much knowledge as you can. I don't think that, you know, they say like when the student is ready, the master appears. I don't really think that we have one teacher in our lives. I think that like we have many teachers. We have teachers from outside of us, the people around us. We have teachers that we learn from, like from podcasts or from, you know, different coaches. There's so many different avenues. So I think the more knowledge that you can gain, I think the better for you, you know? So I think that's something that I would really say, like to just look at as many different aspects as possible, because you really don't know until you know, right?
Yeah, exactly. You keep looking, that's when,
exactly. You don't know. And the more that you look into things, you never know what you'll find. So I think it's just really important to keep looking and to not just only follow one teacher, but just to keep looking at different teachers, because I mean, I could tell you something and then you could have something as a completely different perspective. We all have different perspectives because of our own lives and because of what we've learned so far. So I think it's important to just get a broader perspective and look at different people and different kinds of teachings as well.
Yeah. Beautiful. Completely agreed. Absolutely love it. Thank you so much for joining me today on the call. Really appreciate it having the conversation. If someone wants to reach out to you to book in, to have a conversation, where can they find you, whether it's online or do they have to hike a mountain and find you in a silent retreat?
No, they can find me on online. So my website is livingreikicoaching.com.
Cool. Three very simple words, Living Reiki Coaching.
Yeah, and Reiki is R-E-I-K-I.
Awesome. Cool. And any Instagram handles, anything like that?
It's the same on my Instagram as well, Living Reiki Coaching.
Ah, perfect. Yeah. Cool. I love it when it's all in the same spot. We'll have all of that in the description or in the show notes. If you have a question for Lorraine or you want to, you know, get in touch with her, obviously you have those there. You can comment below. Make sure you do share this with a friend. Leave a like, leave a 5-star review if you enjoyed the podcast. And look forward to chatting to some more coaches. If you have any other coaches that you would love to hear us have a conversation with and unpack their styles and unpack their attitudes towards coaching, then feel free to recommend us. But until next time, be bold, have fun, make an impact. We'll see you all on the wild side. Thank you so much.
That's it, Tribe, for another episode of The Wildcast. Please make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Give us a review on iTunes and jump on over to our YouTube channel to catch the video version of the show, because I know you'll love it. Until I see you live or online, be bold, have fun, and make an impact, and I will see you on the wild side.